Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Elise Stefanik, let's give you a potpourri of issues and so that everybody who's listening can get an idea of where you are. You are, of course, a Republican, and let's just start with immigration.
Immigration, clearly this is an example, I think, where the president has failed. What's happening at the southern border is a humanitarian crisis right now. I think we need to focus on securing our borders. It's an example of too often a political talking point that's been used over the past 20 years, and there's been no action taken. What's interesting about the 21st district, though, is we cannot forget that we're also a border district. We're a border district with our largest trading partner. And so often the discourse at the national level forgets to include the Canadian border. That's something that I think Congressman Owens did very effectively representing the district. Is he helped co-chair the Northern Border Caucus to talk about the unique strengths and the unique challenges we face on the northern border. So the economic commerce that exists is so critical to our economy, especially in the Clinton County region. So I hope to, you know, when there's discussion of immigration at the national level, I hope to be an advocate on behalf of the northern border issues, which, of course, don't get as much attention, but it's critically important to our economy here.
You know, you're gonna be a freshman, assuming you win. Obviously, you'll have to deal with some of the real hardliners on this issue. Does that mean that your sense of what should be permissible on the northern border may put you at odds with them?
I don't think it will put me at odds with them. I think it's just an issue of awareness and understanding that it's not a one-size-fits-all approach for our border issues, and that our northern border issues are very different than our southern border issues. You know, one particular example that I hear a lot about is the wait time for Canadians to come into the U.S. It's significantly longer, and it affects our business. You know, so much of the northern border is based upon tourism, the economy up there, and it's important to encourage that type of tourism across the border. That's not the same issues that we face on our southern border. So I don't think it will put me at odds. I think it gives me an opportunity to raise the awareness of northern border-related economic issues.
How about the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare? Where are you on that one?
I support the repeal of Obamacare, but I also think it's very important, since that is unlikely to happen unless we elect a new president in 2016, it's important to talk about immediate fixes that I think we could really work across the aisle on. And also, I've put forth my own healthcare reform package, what I think would make sense to lower costs, that is, make it more affordable and increase accessibility and improve the quality. So I would vote for repeal, but I would also vote, and Democrats, I think, would join in repealing portions such as the medical device tax, which in the 21st district is a job killer because we have medical device manufacturers, or getting rid of the Independent Payment Advisory Bureau, which is a group of bureaucrats determining reimbursement rates. The other issue that I have heard a lot about in the district are the complaints from rural hospitals who are really struggling under the reimbursement challenges of Obamacare. In the 21st district, which of course is very rural, people have seen their premiums increase at a much higher rate than the rest of New York State. Part of that is because there are fewer choices of health care plans, both in the exchange and outside of the exchange. So it hasn't become more affordable for hardworking families in the district. My ideas for health care reform, again, the goal should be, how do we make this more affordable for families? How do we ensure patient-centered health care with the best quality we can possibly get? And accessibility, that means hospitals in communities that are thriving. And the way we can do that is allowing healthcare to be purchased across state lines, which makes sense with the New York-Vermont border. Having an honest discussion about tort reform at the national level, given the increase of medical malpractice lawsuits that physicians are forced to practice defensive medicine as a result of, and giving small businesses the same tax incentives that individuals have to write off their health care costs. It's something that I'm concerned about. It's a top issue that I hear across the district, and I think I'll continue to hear about it as we head into November, as the next round of premium increases and cancellations take place.
Well, Common Core. Now we have this thing, which seems to me to be laudable, you know, a bunch of standards that get set so that the United States doesn't fall further behind in education. And all of a sudden, it's become this political magnet for criticism. What do you make of it?
This is also an issue that I hear from parents, I hear from teachers, and even students. They're struggling under the implementation of Common Core. I don't support Common Core in New York State. It's interesting. It's actually pretty bipartisan in those that have spoken out against Common Core. I think having the top-down approach for educational standards is not in the right direction. I think we should have more local control, community control. And I also think we should promote school choice and other options that are out there, whether that's homeschooling, whether that's online learning, parochial schools, or charter schools.
Okay, stop right there. Let me ask you about that parochial school thing. Isn't that violative of the First Amendment? Giving vouchers for people to go into parochial schools. I mean, I understand. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I don't think it is against the First Amendment. I think we should be encouraging choice, and we should be encouraging families that are looking for other options. The interesting thing about parochial schools is that oftentimes members of differing religions attend the parochial school for that the educational standards that it offers. So that's something that parents can choose and families can choose to take on. It's not forced on anyone. And I'm a beneficiary, not of parochial schools, but of going to an independent school where my parents wanted to find the best possible education for me. And it was an all-girls school. It was an excellent independent school. I had exceptional teachers.
Where was it?
I went to Albany Academy for Girls.
Oh, a long distinguished group of alumna.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it was a just a very rigorous academic environment. Neither of my parents had that type of opportunity with the investment in their education at a young age. And they really focused on that when I was growing up. And I really credit the time that I spent there and the teachers that I had as really setting me off on a path. And I'm so impressed with the graduates and all of the different things that they're doing. And I think we should be encouraging that type of educational, those types of choices for families.
So what about same-sex marriage?
Same-sex marriage is a states' rights issue. It's been voted on in New York State, and I rarely get asked about this issue on the campaign trail because it's ultimately settled in New York State.
Okay, the Tea Party.
Well, I enjoyed a wide swath of support in the Republican primary. I think the Tea Party's focus on issues such as balancing the budget and reining in our debt over the long term is very important. I think they've brought focus on that issue that was missing in some senses. I also think the constitutional liberties focus of Tea Party groups is very important. It's particularly interesting in New York State as we continue to see citizens of both parties rally against Governor Cuomo's SAFE Act.
Stop right there. Give me something on guns. The at least Stefanik view on the SAFE Act.
I believe the SAFE Act is unconstitutional. I've been very clear about my position on Second Amendment rights since the beginning of my campaign, and it's not a Republican or Democratic issue. This is a constitutional issue. A number of Democrats that I meet with are very against the SAFE Act, and this is a rural district. It's a district of hunters. It's a district where oftentimes single women who live alone feel a sense of security if they're able to continue to own guns in the district. I'm a card-carrying member of the NRA, and I've gotten a lot of support from Second Amendment groups throughout the district.
Well, Elise Stefanik, you're a woman who knows what she's talking about. I thank you so much for being with us. Elise Stefanik is Republican candidate for New York's 21st district. I appreciate your being with us, and I hope you'll come back.
Absolutely.